Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
And we are living in a unique time. And these are going to be days from today on to the end of our lives. These are going to be days of contrast. These are going to be days of contest. These are going to be days that are formative. That it will prove what you are, prove what you believe, and prove what you possess. These are days of sorting and sifting. And these are either days of tremendous fear or tremendous faith for believers. They are days of depression or they are days of tremendous anticipation and excitement. And you're the one that decides what that will be. And when you watch the news, it's never good. But when you study God's Word, and if you're a true believer and you understand and you're able to rightly divide the Word of God and dissect it correctly, it is always good news. Good news from a far country is like a cup of cool water from a far country. And so good news is what the Bible has for us. But you have to be a student of God's Word to know what it is. Turn with me, if you would, to the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And all of this lighting situation that we are having is a real challenge. But if you are really sincere in what you're doing, challenges just make you better. It might not ever be ideal. I don't know a time in my life where everything was perfect, everything was ideal. But you take whatever you've got and you prove to God that I am able to not only survive, but I am able to be victorious in any circumstances that present themselves. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that, by the word of the heavens, were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. You may be seated. I want to talk to you a few moments on the subject, the parallel universes of the last days. How many people are familiar with that phrase, the parallel universes? That phrase came into being when man was able to split the atom. And from what they could discern from that, they came to a conclusion. I say they, part, not all, but a part of the scientific community came to a conclusion that there are parallel universes. In other words, in some far-flung galaxy, there is a place called Earth. It might not be called that, but it's much like this Earth. And I always thought, I studied this many years ago, and in my preliminary studies, I thought they were saying that the parallel universes in their scientific speculation, that they were saying that the parallel universes are identical. They're not saying that. They're not identical at all. They're similar. But there are universes much as our universe is. There's another Earth. And, of course, the scientific community is extremely divided on that, probably less believe that than those that do believe it, but all agree that it's neither provable or refutable. They can't prove it one way or another with the knowledge that we have today in science. I personally doubt that there is any galaxy anywhere that has an Earth like this. I just don't believe that. I don't believe it based on the information that the Bible gives us. But I will tell you that there are parallel universes, but not in some distant galaxy. But they're right here in this present age, on this earth that we live in. And they are at this time what the Bible refers to as of the last days. First, what does the phrase last days mean? Not last hours, not last minutes, it's last days. It is the closing of the church age. When we talk about the last days, we're talking about the closing of the church age. There is a time coming, and could be very soon, that Christ will come for his church. We call it a rapture. The Bible doesn't use that word. The Bible calls it a catching away. But that's the closing of the church age. And then the earth will continue after the church is gone. It will be a totally different place, and it will be a terrible place to live in without the church. And so we are living in that time the Bible calls the last days. But we must be very careful that we speak where the Bible speaks and we're silent where the Bible's silent. People always like to speak where the Bible is silent because that makes them a standout ministry and they can have followers. But it's a dangerous thing for any preacher, any evangelist, any minister to speak where the Bible is silent. When the Bible is silent, it's purposely silent. When the Bible is ambiguous or the Bible deletes something, it does so purposely. The Word of God was not developed in a haphazard, accidental way. And God is not slapping his head like he wants a V8 and saying, wow, I wish I'd have put that in there. Every word that God wanted in the Bible is now in the Bible. He saw the end from the beginning. And so the Apostle Peter is writing about the last days. But we have to realize that in the midst of all this last day thing he was talking about, how the signs would be, he says this. In the midst of his declarations about all these last days, he interjects this. He said in 2 Peter 3:8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day." In other words, he said, these are the last days. And somebody grabbed their briefcase and said, let's go. He said, but wait just a minute. The last days to us, but a day is 1,000 years to the Lord. And 1,000 years is a day. In other words, time has no consequence with God. It's simply invented for man. In fact, the Bible says in heaven, time shall be no more. There will be no time in heaven at all, because it is forever. So let us conclude that we are in the last days. And we need to be aware that these are the last days. But we also need to realize that no man knows the day or hour. The pandemic and the problems that we are facing sets up a perfect scenario for false prophets. People that will give you ideas, speculations, what they call prophecies, that cannot be proven by the Bible, and they do it for their own self-aggrandizement, or they do it for money. So be wary of these people. They will be on television, they'll be on radio, they'll be in pulpits, and they'll be in your mailbox, and they'll be on your social media. So beware of them. No man knoweth the day or hour, the Bible said. With that understanding, let's look at the Bible description of the conditions and events of the last days. The parallel universes of this present time. There are two present universes that are taking place right now. And so the apostle writes and he says, in the last days, that means in the time that we are living in right now, he said, there's going to be a thing that you just cannot deny, that there are going to be scoffers in the last days. If you're waiting for the world to agree with the church, then you're going to have a long wait, because the church and the world are two parallel universes, and our philosophies will never, ever be the same. He said, know this first. He said, first of all, realize there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Jesus isn't coming. The church is a farce. The Bible is a collection of myths. And Jesus isn't coming. Where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep. In other words, since time began, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But Peter says, but they are willingly ignorant of the word of God. And so there's always going to be people out there, and they will not be necessarily illiterate and uneducated people. They will be wise people, educated people, people that are very philosophical, people that are very well adjusted to this world, people that are successful, people that are wealthy, but they will scoff at the fact that we believe that Jesus Christ is literally coming back. I saw on the right, we was having this summer, one guy carrying a song or carrying a sign, and he said, Jesus is coming. Put that first, and they said, let him come. We'll kill him again. That's the attitude of those people that are total agnostics. But there is another universe. There is a universe of people that are skeptic and scoffers and agnostics and laughers and mockers. But if you get as entrenched in God's kingdom as I am, if you believe it as strongly as I do, the scoffers no way diminish my faith or cause me to unbelief. In fact, they themselves are one of the ingredients in the prophecies that Jesus Christ is coming again. And so just as there will be scoffers in the last day, there are going to be those like me and millions of others. There's a pastor that I watch sometime, and he's one of those pastors that I'm not totally excited about, because he never really talks about anything in depth. He writes books and sells many of them, but they're just so frothy and so simple and just the feel-good big books, but he never, ever talks about the gospel. But I happened to catch him this week, and he was totally changed. He was saying, Jesus has got to come right now. Well, Jesus can come right now, but you cannot let the tragedies of today develop your theology. There are so many people that are developing their theology by the current events. The current events in no way shape my theology. They line up with my theology. And so just as there will be on the last day scoffers saying, where is the coming? There are those by the millions, like myself, that are anticipating the appearance of the Lord. We're anticipating that Jesus is coming again. And he said, they are those that love his appearing. 2 Timothy 4:8. Can you imagine the ecstasy of the moment, the joy that you would be caught up to be with the Lord? And so we are looking for the coming of the Lord. If you're truly saved and born again, when I first came to San Antonio, there's some people I talked to in a church in Castle Hills, and they said, we believe Jesus is coming, but we hope he don't come too quick. This was 40-some years ago. And I said, why, ma'am? And she said, I just got married. And she said, I'm just got off my honeymoon, and I want to live in my marriage for a while. I talked to another young boy, and he said, I just got a motorcycle. My dad just gave me a motorcycle, so I hope Jesus don't come before I can ride that motorcycle. Those are people that don't love his appearing. They're just thinking about it, but they're not really involved in what Jesus Christ is about. But for those of us that are spirit-filled, spirit-led, on fire for God, Jesus Christ is the sun of our galaxy. We are looking for that glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We anticipate it, and the Bible said that we literally love his appearing. And I believe it's very possible that many of us sitting in this building will never taste death, but we will see Jesus Christ split the clouds of glory. You say, do you believe Jesus is coming tonight? I believe that he can, but I've said it many times. We need to live like he's coming today, but plan like he's not coming for 50 years. The Bible teaches us to do that, to occupy till he comes. But I'm excited about the coming of the Lord. The Bible said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. What's a twinkling of an eye? Scientists say that an eye twinkle is 1/40th of a second. You ain't going to have no time to clean your house. You're not going to have time to find your Bible. You're not going to have time to get ready. When the Lord comes, it's 1/40th of a second. That's pretty quick. You can't measure that with just the human eye. 1 fortieth of a second, the twinkling of an eye. It said, and we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There is a generation that will not die, and that is perhaps this present generation. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. So what's the parallel universe? The parallel universe is you've got the scoffers that say there is no God, there is no creation, there is no living Christ, and Christ will never come back again. You just live for the moment, and then you die. You're just like an animal, and there is no eternity. But then you've got in a parallel universe a church of the living God that believes every day of their life, this might be the day that Jesus is coming. And you just have such faith, you say it doesn't matter. Somebody wrote and said it doesn't matter what's going on. Said if I live, God is with me. But if I die, I'm with God. So either way, I got it covered. And that is true Christianity. It is a parallel universe to this world. And if you think the world is going to accept you, and if you're trying to fit in with this world, you're making a grave mistake because it's as different as night and day. It's called the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. And you have to decide which one you're going to be. The second thing I want to talk about, the parallel universes. There is a great falling away. I've never liked this verse at all because I'm a revivalist by heart. I love harvest. I love people coming to Christ. But Paul would write in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And I meet people every day that used to be Christians. And some of them just admit they're backslid, but some of them are violently opposed to Christianity. Their mind has literally been sealed by a power of darkness, and they're just as much against the church as they was for it. That's called the great falling away. And the Bible talks about it over and over again in all different kinds of contexts. And so when you see people leaving churches, when you see people saying, well, it's not necessary to pray, it's not necessary to go to church, it's not necessary to live a godly, moral lifestyle, this is a fulfillment of the last days. He said, in the last days, there will be a great falling away. But friend, that's not the end of the story. There's something else that is happening in a parallel universe, and that's the one that I live in. Jesus said, therefore, said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. He said, there's going to be such a harvest, there's not going to be enough preachers. There's going to be such a harvest, there's not going to be enough churches. There's going to be such a harvest, the churches are not going to be big enough. Amos would write, the minor prophet Amos would write, and he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that sowed seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. He said, there's coming a day where the plowman shall overtake the reaper. What's that mean? That means the harvest is going to be very quick. It's not going to take a long time period. It's going to happen instantly. Friend, when I watched them pull down the Berlin Wall, that happened so quickly. One day it's never coming down, and the next day I realized how quickly God can cause things to happen. And I know that we would like for there to be a revival that's just on and gradual and on and on and on, but there's going to come a revival. The day of Pentecost is symbolized by the word, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. There's a big harvest coming. Now, I don't know what is going to precipitate that harvest, but I do know that at the same time, simultaneously, there's going to be a great falling away, and there's going to be a great harvest. So what we're really talking about is we're just changing seats. You might decide you don't want to come to church no more. You might decide that you don't want to follow God anymore. Well, as much as we love you and covet you and want you to be in this church, the truth is somebody's going to take your place. If you check out, somebody will take your place. If I never preach another sermon, somebody will preach my sermon. Because God promises us in these parallel universes, as difficult as you might think it is when you see people just dropping out and fading away and quitting and stopping and turning their moral compass upside down. You say, oh, these are just terrible days. They're really not. They're just terrible for some people. For people that hold true to God, these are going to be the greatest days of our life, because there's going to be the greatest harvest that we've ever seen. I promise you, I don't know what it's going to take to trigger it in America. I do remember at 9/11, that next Sunday was the largest church attendance in America. Just one Sunday. The second Sunday after that, it wasn't. People already started falling back. But I can tell you this, and I am a prosperity. Somebody said, you're a prosperity preacher. Oh, yes. I believe that God wants to prosper you. But let me say this about prosperity. Christianity does not flourish at its best in prosperity. Christianity flourishes at its best under persecution. And so I'm asking us, the people of God, that we would be true to God, and it would not take persecution for that great gathering to take place, that great harvest that he's talking about. But I know that whatever God has to do, God's going to have a revival. God's going to have a harvest. God is going to save people. Anybody that can be saved will be saved. The Bible said anything that can be shaken will be shaken. There's going to be a great shaking. There's going to be a lot of people shake out. All the pretenders will be gone. All the people that were talking about it and not walking the walk, they're going to be gone. But there are going to be replacements for them. God's going to have a church. When Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, he is coming back for a militant, mobile, overcoming, victorious army of God. It's going to be a great throng of people. And so I don't pay any attention to what I see. I don't pay any attention to what I hear, because all of my theology is not based upon events. It is based upon the Word of God. What does God say? God said there's going to be a great falling away. And when I read I read a few months ago, some great Christian singer, which I didn't know because I don't know any of them, but he was supposed to be very famous. He announced that he was no longer a believer in God, and he had never been a believer in God. He was just singing Christian songs to make money. And old Christians just went nuts on Facebook. It didn't faze me a lick. I felt sorry for him, but it didn't faze me. My theology is not based on personalities. I know of a church in America where the pastor told a friend of mine, and he runs 2,000 people, supposed to be a Holy Ghost church. He's a very talented guy, an amazing speaker, an amazing singer. And he told him in a moment of confidence, and my friend that just committed suicide told me what he had told him. And he said, I've got one problem as a pastor. He said, I don't believe there is a God. And he's pastoring 2,000 people, and he doesn't believe there is a God. That is something that is probably more prevalent than you can imagine. But that doesn't change me at all, because my theology was not based in this church or this preacher or this pastor or events. My theology is based in the Word of God. The Word of God is God's written Word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God shall endure forever. And so you say, well, you know, it was so funny, but he saw this fellow pastor, a little church in Dallas, and he had about 100 people, and he said, how's your church doing? He said, no good, brother. He said, nobody wants to live for God anymore. That's not a new feeling for preachers. Elijah had that same feeling, you know. He said, I'm the only one, God, living for you. And God said, I've got 6,000 others that haven't bowed their knee. He said, where are they? You might not know where they are, but I'm going to tell you, God's got a church. God's got hundreds of millions of people that are just as sincere as you are. They love God just as much as you do. And the devil wants you to begin to feel like I'm the only one. Everybody has fallen away. Oh, no, not everybody's fallen away. The harvest is greater than the falling away. We're living in parallel universes. And if you put your eyes on the wrong universe, you're going to live in a constant state of depression. But if you get involved in the kingdom of God, look to the Word of God, and see God doing what God's doing, you will live in a constant attitude of faith and expectancy and say, praise God, my best days are ahead. I say it all the time. My best days are ahead. Where do you get that? I don't get it from my doctor or my lawyer or my banker. I get that from the Word of God, that God is not an anticlimactic God, but he is a God of great finishes, great finales. God always ends things big. Number three, the spirit of the Antichrist is now. 1 John 4:3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. A little thing to note. I notice it all the time because politicians, they like to be religious. And public figures like to be, and they like to talk about God. People that talk about God and never mention the name of Jesus are pseudo-Christians. Because when you talk about God, you don't offend anybody. The Muslims, they believe, everybody believes in some kind of a God, nearly. But when you say Jesus, you separate yourself from all of those people, from all of those religions. It's a name above every name. So there is an Antichrist spirit. They will tell you when you go to pray in various places, when you pray, just say Father or God. Don't mention the name of Jesus. I won't make that prayer. I might do it myself somewhere. I might do it in this church, pray and just say Father, because I know we have that commonality. But once they forbid me to, I got to. I got to speak that name. When they say you can't use the name of Jesus, I suddenly become Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. It's where you've got to take your stand. You won't bow. And so Jesus Christ is my Lord. Nobody died for me except Jesus. Jesus is the only one that died for me. And so I can never be ashamed of him. For if I'm ashamed of him before men, he will be ashamed of me before the Father, the Bible declares. And so there is a spirit of Antichrist in this world. And friend, you can get as political as you want to. I don't get political. Mine's all about Christianity. It's all about Christianity. But I am concerned when our new president said, I'm going to crack down on the churches of America because they are the seed of hatred. That's what Joe Biden said. You say, well, I voted for him. That's fine. I just want you to know that he is not a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. He said, was Trump? Not by a long shot. But he did tell me, you'll have a friend in the White House, and he was good to us in that area. I'll tell you somebody that helped us some was Bill Clinton. Different presidents helped. Lyndon Baines Johnson passed a law that was terrible for the church. Different presidents. This is what I look at. I don't care whether Republicans, or I don't care whether they're Democrats. I don't care about black, white, yellow. I don't care what color the president is. I just want to know what they think about Jesus Christ. And the truth is, we ain't never had a Holy Ghost-filled president, and I don't know that we will ever have one. And so I just do the best I can with politics, but that's not even my arena. That's the reason why I don't preach about it, because that's not my arena. My arena is the kingdom of God. That's where I live. That's where I move. It has nothing to do with politics. Because this world is temporary. It's going to be over in a few days. But when I go to Congress or somewhere and they say, we want you to pray, but now don't mention the name of Jesus. You've either got to say, show me the door, or I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. Because it just doesn't matter that much to me. They wrote me a letter a few months ago wanting me to come and pray at the State House. And I just had somebody called him back and said, he's too busy. He don't have time. Said, oh, you should have went. That doesn't really change anything. When I pray at the Senate or the Congress, they're not going to fall on their knees and start weeping. It's a waste of my time. And I'm not much on wasting my time. But if I can't preach Jesus Christ, I've told them that on television programs. If I can't preach Jesus Christ, I'm not going to be on that television show. It's all about Jesus Christ. In him I live and move and have my being. So there is an Antichrist spirit. And it's not an Antichrist Democrat spirit or an Antichrist Republican spirit. It's just an Antichrist spirit. And if you think your hope is in Joe Biden or was in Donald Trump, or if you think it's in any president that's going to be elected, friend, you have put too much into politics, because that is a parallel universe that I'm not even a part of. I'm in a totally different universe. They do not understand. When when one of our pastors here in this city, when he endorsed John McCain as for president, John McCain went to Washington, and they played a tape of this pastor preaching. And when John McCain heard that, he publicly denounced the pastor that endorsed him. Friend, it's a whole different world. I'm not in that world. I'm not going to be denounced by them because I'm not going to be endorsing them. I've endorsed one, and I've been endorsing for the last 61 years, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'll recommend him to anybody. He's not going to embarrass me. I promise you, you get on the political bandwagon for a politician, sooner or later, if you're a true Christian, you're going to be embarrassed by his language. You're going to be embarrassed by his decisions. You're going to be embarrassed by the fact that he embraces things that you are totally opposed to because of the Word of God. But you'll never be in trouble when you endorse Jesus Christ. He's altogether lovely. He is more than able, praise God. And so Jesus Christ tells us that through his word, the Antichrist is now. A lot of people are just oblivious, just living in a fine world. No, we're not. The Antichrist is in this world now. The spirit of the Antichrist is in this world. And somebody said, well, that really depresses me, but it doesn't depress me at all because I live in a parallel universe. In the world where the Antichrist spirit is, there's another spirit. And the Bible says this word, in the last days, in the last days. I love this definition of the last days because that's where I'm living. And he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. When there is an Antichrist spirit in this world, it really doesn't affect me and my universe because I'm living in the universe where every day God is pouring out his Holy Spirit on my life. Praise God. And we have been so blessed through the pandemic in so many ways. And I think this is just one of many things that are coming. I think there's a spiritual significance to the pandemic. I think the devil has his hand in it one way or another. It's not the last of his tricks. But the Bible said that we're smarter than the devil. You know the Bible said that? Where did it say that? It said we're not ignorant of his devices. That means we're smarter than the devil. And so you got to be smarter than the devil. And so I don't believe this pandemic is his last trick out of his bag of tricks. The Bible said in Revelation 12 that Satan, knowing that his time is short, will come down with all of his anger. And so you said, I'll be glad when this thing is over. Friend, I've got news for you. There's something on the heels of the pandemic, and there's something on the heels of that. Why? Because that is the universe this world lives in. They live in an Antichrist universe. But in the meantime, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And then gives us a promise for our kids. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Praise God. Parallel universes. Well, the Antichrist, we are not very far from being mandated to take the mark of the beast. That could very well happen. In our lifetime, that could very well happen in the next few years. They're talking about, is the vaccine going to be mandated? And friend, if it is, you say, well, I'm not going to take it. Well, when they tell you can't bank, you can't shop, your little daughter's sick, you can't take her to the doctor, you take that vaccination just like that. I bet 50 people have asked, Pastor, you going to take the vaccination? I said, not at first. I want to see if everybody goes blind in 3 weeks. But at some point in time, I'm willing to take it. But it's not necessarily going to be on my time schedule. It's going to be when they say I have to take it. And if they can do that with the vaccination, you think they can't do that with the mark of the beast? Sure they can. Sure they can. We're close to that. They can mandate whatever they want to. You say, well, I just won't do that. Well, that's easy to say. But I notice the people that say that most are not people that pray or people that come to church or people that tithe. Those are the talkers, not the walkers. Because we know how serious it is that we're going to have to resist. And there is going to come a time of resistance. That's what they've been talking about politically. You're part of the resistance. Oh, friend, I've been a part of the resistance a long time. Ever since I was a kid, I was part of not the political resistance of a political party. I'm resisting this spirit of the Antichrist that is in this world. And every day I'm welcoming the Holy Spirit and saying, God, I want your promises fulfilled in my life. What I'm telling you that God always has a plan and has always had a plan. Always had a plan. No matter what's going on in the world, God has always had a plan. When the people of Israel were in slavery, there was Goshen. God's always got a plan. Believe what you want to. Some people say, well, are you pre-trib or post-trib or what, mid-trib? What do you believe? I don't base it on one verse. Remember this, that God is always taking his people out before. So I personally am pre-trib. I don't think we're going through the tribulation because God always took his people out. He took Noah out before the flood came. He took Lot and Abraham out before the Sodom and Gomorrah was faced with the fire and the brimstone. He took the harlot Rahab out before the walls fell. He always takes them out before, and God is a God of patterns. So I believe that we're going to leave this world before the tribulation, which tells me we're living in the last days. And so I am looking for his appearing. I am longing for his appearing, which doesn't mean that I won't build a new house or buy a new car because I'm going to occupy it till he comes. I wouldn't mind being in the middle of a great business deal or building a house or whatever when the Lord comes. That's not a lack of faith. It is obedience. God said, go ahead and plant your vineyard, build your house, have your children, get married, do all of that. But he said, look for my appearing. And so, friend, we're living in a world that is not comfortable for those that are truly saved. We look at the world and we realize what it is. Let me close with this. Number four, the mystery of iniquity. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. What is the mystery of iniquity? The mystery of iniquity is the spirit of lawlessness, just a hatred of authority, and that is prevalent in our society. And you see it on your television on a regular basis. But the Bible tells us that when there's a spirit of iniquity, in one translation, one in the King James it says sin, but in one translation it says, where iniquity doth abound, there is the grace of God more abound. Well, this lawless spirit is happening in this universe that the world is in. There's a whole nother world, and that is a world that is submissive to God. And God is literally showering down his grace, which is his favor on us. See, what I'm telling you tonight is when the world is at its worst, the church will be at its best. And you've got to become a part of that kingdom to not be caught up in it. They say that there is legislation that is being formulated right now where it will absolutely be against the law to read a scripture or to preach against the sin of homosexuality in America, and they say it will happen in the next few years, that law will be passed. Well, friend, I had a friend in Louisiana that had church and went to jail and all that. I wasn't into that. But if they tell me I cannot preach the Word of God, they'll just have to come and arrest me because I will preach the Word of God. And when the Bible talks about abortion, it is an abomination. It is murder. When the Bible talks about homosexuality, it is an abomination to the Lord. And it doesn't matter what the government says. It doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter what the culture says. You have to stand for what the Word of God says. And the Word of God can't be changed. You can't change the Word of God. When you alter the Word of God, you lose your covenant. Because your covenant is based on the whole Word of God, not just a part of it. The Bible is not lubies. You can't take what you want. You receive what you are served. And the Bible is very, very clear. And so we're living in a lawless age in their universe. But in my universe, I'm living in a time of grace. Grace fulfilled the law. I'm not living under the law. I'm living in grace, which means every day, not only is mercy fresh every morning, But grace is distributed to me every day of my life. And folks, I'm going to tell you that it is going to become increasingly difficult for you to resist, because there's going to be more and more pressure on you to compromise your Christianity and embrace their world. But if you're going to be a true follower of Christ, you have to be a part of the resistance. You have to resist their universe and embrace the kingdom of Almighty God. And I'm closing with this. One of God's greatest tools of evangelism in the end time is going to be contrast. Old cliche. Somebody said the world has become too churchy and the church has become too worldly. That's an old cliche. Well, friend, it's not going to be that way in the old days. You're going to know the Christians from the non-Christians. It's not going to be just we're all here and we're just all going to get along. They are going to confront you about your Christianity. It's going to cost some of you your jobs. It's going to cost some of you your friends. It's going to cost some of you family members. You won't be welcome at the family reunion anymore. You're going to have to take a stand. But, friend, I don't even fear that. You know, I find this just strange. I got old preachers, you know, that are my age and older, and I talk to them regularly, and they're just shocked. Call you on the phone. They're just shocked about what's going on. I can't believe they won't let them have it. I said, brother, we've preached this for 50 years, and you're shocked? It came to pass, and you're shocked? I'm not shocked at all. This is what I live for. And I'm going to be a part of the contrast. I'm going to prove that there is a God that will be faithful to me no matter what the other kingdom says, no matter what the world says. I'm going to be blessed coming in and blessed going out. I'm going to prove that the God of the Hebrew children is still alive, that the God of Daniel is still alive. I'm prepared to go to jail for this faith. I'm prepared to be disliked for this faith. I'm prepared to be called a hater. Just a year and a half ago, I preached. I don't remember what I said. You know, I just don't rail on things. But somewhere, just about like tonight, I said something about homosexuality being a sinner. And a beautiful woman stood right in the aisle, right about halfway back here. And I just happened to go down the aisle. And she was crying. And she said, Pastor, I loved this church. And I loved you. But when I saw the hate in you, when you said homosexuality was sin, I was crushed. I'll never be able to come back again. I can't base my theology on wanting that woman's approval. I hate to see her go. I was sorry for her tears. I was sorry she didn't understand. I was sorry that I went from that loving pastor to that hate monger in one split second in her mind. But I cannot compromise God's word. And I am convinced that the God that delivered the Apostle Paul out of the Philippian jail will be my God. I'm prepared that the miracles of the New Testament are going to be not only equaled in this generation, but multiplied. And somebody said, where are the miracles? I'm not sure the climate is right. But that climate of contrast is now being developed. And that contrast is going to be that God is going to call us to come out and be separate. And in response to this, he said, greater works than I did, you're going to do. He is going to have a church that is going to be magnificently blessed with signs and wonders and power. He's going to supply all of our need. He's going to take the wealth of the sinner and lay it up for us. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a unique time. But it's not a time for you to fear. It's not a time for you to question. It's time for you to recognize that there are two different universes that we live in. They're parallel. They're happening at the same time, but they're not the same. God's kingdom is a kingdom of blessing. God's kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. God's kingdom is a kingdom of morality. God's kingdom is a kingdom of miracles and signs and wonders and healings. And one of the things God is going to have us to move into is more miracles as far as healing. God is literally going to exhaust heaven to evangelize this world in one last effort. He said, they will say, where is the sign of his coming? But he will say, the reason why I'm not coming, why? I am long-suffering. God is waiting for the apex. God knows where that tipping point is. There is a point somewhere out there where the most people that can possibly be saved out of a generation or out of a world is that day. And that's the day Jesus is going to come. That's the reason no man knows the day or hour. But he's not coming for a church that's been defeated. He has come for a church that is triumphant, a church that is overcoming, a church that is not compromised. The gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. And so you, my friend, you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. I don't care how you feel about Joe Biden or Donald Trump. And I've had people come to me in the last several months that left this church because I wouldn't say Trump was the greatest guy I ever saw. And I had people leave because I wouldn't get involved in this election. You just got to leave, folks. I'm not here to preach for Democrats or Republicans. I'm not here to preach for Donald Trump or Joe Biden. I'm not here to preach about men. I'm here to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, the Lord of glory, and tell you that Christ is coming back for a church and you need to get sold out. If you're just so upset about politics that you can't hardly function, you're not sold out to Jesus Christ. If you get sold out to Jesus, you'll say, that's about right. I see crazy things happening all the time. I say, that's about right. That's the parallel universe. That's the way they live. That's the way they operate. But that's not my kingdom. My kingdom is not about that freaky stuff. My kingdom is rooted in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of my soul. And so I want to tell you, I am not pessimistic. I believe the best days of the church are yet ahead, but I believe there's going to be a big contrast. And there's a whole lot of people today that are going to church and singing their little I Love You Jesus songs that have not about sold out to Christ, but they're going to be forced to decide which side they're really on and whose kingdom they're really in. Friend, I've already made up my mind. I don't care what happens, I've already made up my mind. Jesus Christ is my Lord. The church of the living God is my sanctuary. And my blessed hope is that Christ is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It can be tonight or it can be 2050. I don't know when it's going to be, but praise God, I tell you that he is ready. Would you stand on your feet right now and give God some praise in this house? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It's going to be a day of great sifting, but those that make it through the sifting are going to be greatly blessed. And friend, I plan on having the greatest blessings of my life. If you're in this building right now and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, or if you're in this building and you feel like I've kind of got frayed and I've kind of lost out and I'm not on fire, I'm going to tell you what, I've been living for God since I was 10 years of age, and I'm on more on fire than I was 61 years. Just because you've been saved a while doesn't mean the fire needs to go out. You need to be more excited about your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ. Is there anybody in this building right now? Friend, I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ works for me. He saved my soul. He took my sins away. I used to play racquetball 8-10 hours every day for years and years and years. And one of my racquetball friends called me the other day, and his knees are just shot. He said, Steve, you don't have any trouble with your knees? I said, oh, yeah, I do. I said, about once a year, my knees start hurting, and I sat down. And I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I usually put some oil on, in the name of Jesus. And I said, immediately I get up, and I won't have another pain for a year. Say, why don't it last longer? I don't know. Lots of things I don't know. But praise God, I know. I just believe God. God takes care of my body. God takes care of my money. God takes care of my soul. He is the Lord of my life. If you're in this building right now and you're trying to carry your burdens all alone, you're in for trouble. If you're trying to stay healthy on your own, you're in for trouble. If you're trying to save yourself, you're in for trouble. If you need help in your life, I challenge you to walk down this aisle right now and say, I just want Jesus Christ to be that strong in my life. I want him to be my healer.